And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And today we have another volume, as we do each month, of Secrets. Secrets. Volume 181. That's a lot of volumes. Volume 181 of Secrets. Well, some of these things are, well, actually they're not quite secrets, but maybe we can give you a little light on them, a little more discernment than the average media reporter would. Because after all, the media are controlled. But we here at Power of Prophecy, well, we just say whatever is true and let the chips or whatever they are, may not be chips, maybe something else, fall wherever they're going to fall. Truth is a very wonderful thing, an antiseptic, isn't it? Sort of like sun rays, you know, it just burns away all the drab old ugly stuff. And leaves a nice shiny truth. Let's talk about some things today that I think are very interesting in the area of truth and maybe secrets as well. You know, I see that they built this gigantic, I guess it will eventually be historic, statue, big monument to Martin Luther King in our nation's capital on what they call the National Mall. You know, they have the pool and then they have the White House on one side, and then way down at the other end of that pool, you have the Egyptian obelisk of the Washington Monument. And now we have this great towering monument. You know, it's larger, the statue that they built to Martin Luther King on government land, very valuable prize land right there on the National Mall, right in the center of Washington, D.C. And it's three times as big as the monument that they built, at least the statue, to Abraham Lincoln. It's maybe three times as big as the statue they built of Thomas Jefferson. Martin Luther King is three times as important as Lincoln and Jefferson. The liberals get what they want, don't they? You know, across America, there's Martin Luther King high schools and middle schools and, you know, airports and avenues and boulevards and streets and highways and museums and light, you know, it just goes on and on honoring this man. I could take you and tell you a little bit about the real Martin Luther King, but why should I waste my time? I don't know. Of course, the guy was a bisexual. The night before he was shot, he had sex. Two women were in his bed. Both of them were white women. So the man's cavorting about with white women in his bed. Then the next morning he gets shot there on the balcony of that seedy flophouse hotel. Didn't want people to know where he was, I guess, as he did his things. Of course, the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, the director, knew about this and said this guy, you know, has the morals of an alley cat, I think were his exact words. And the worst part was that he didn't just have sex with those women. He loved to smack them around. He loved to beat them. He was a sadist, a sadomasochist. But while he had sex with the white women and battered them, Martin Luther King also was a notorious homosexual. In fact, his deputy, the second man to him, Ralph Abernathy, he was Reverend Ralph Abernathy, just like Martin Luther King was the Reverend Martin Luther King. Well, both of them were homosexuals. And Ralph Abernathy, in fact, wrote his own autobiography right before he died. And all the black community got so angry at him, and all the liberals got so angry, you should not have told the truth about Martin Luther King. So many people are going to disrespect him now. And Abernathy said, well, I just believe in telling the truth, warts and all. And the fact is, he was a homosexual. Martin Luther King was a homosexual. Of course, I guess now people celebrate being homosexual, so there's nothing wrong with that, according to the world. Now, when I've told people that before, that Martin Luther King was a homosexual, they won't attack me. How dare you? That's not possible. Well, it is possible. It's true. As I said, his own deputy, Reverend Ralph Abernathy, who took his place as president of the, what do they call that, the Southern Christian, you know, I guess I forget the name of the group. What does it matter? But Martin Luther King's group, Ralph Abernathy, took over, and he's the one who exposed that fact. Now, it's interesting that Jesse Jackson was one of the, you know, lieutenants, you might say, in the King organization. And one, I just wonder how many men he had to sleep with. We know about the women he slept with and the ones that had illegitimate children that he had to bribe and pay hush money to. I'm talking about Jesse Jackson. Now, back to Martin Luther King and getting this big memorial to Martin Luther King at the in Washington, D.C. This is was dedicated in August on the 48th anniversary of King's I Have a Dream speech. And all of the liberals were there, of course, and probably a lot of conservatives, too, to show off. But among the liberals, the famous blacks were Aretha Franklin, Jamie Foxx, Stevie Wonder. This 30-foot-tall statue of Martin Luther King, 120 million smackaroos, $120 million it cost the people. And I suspect most of it was tax money, although they did have a fundraising deal for it. Now, here's something very interesting. The Martin Luther King family, okay, that's his survivors of the King family, insisted they be paid almost $800,000 for the government to have the right to use the likeness of Martin Luther King. Now, I want you to understand. They go to the King family, and they say, we want to build a memorial and put it right in the center of Washington, D.C. on very valuable real estate worth, who knows, maybe $250 million just for the real estate. And the government's going to bequeath us this real estate to build this towering monument etched in granite of Martin Luther King. Are you happy about it? And the King family said, well, no, but we will be for $800,000. In fact, let me just give you the licensing fee was exactly $761,000 plus a few thousand dollars for various things. Imagine the gall, the height of arrogance. We'll let you use the likeness of Martin Luther King, but you'll have to pay us almost $800,000. You'd have thought they'd have been happy. What if they'd have said, no, we're not going to pay you? Then we wouldn't have a memorial. I think that would have been just fine, frankly. But in any case, they were all there, all these former civil rights leaders and all these things. By the way, this old guy's life was a scam, this King guy. First of all, he was named for a real Christian leader, Martin Luther. Second, he got his doctorate degree by plagiarizing somebody else's dissertation. That's right. We now know that he plagiarized that. Even the very speech that he gave, the most famous one of all, I Have a Dream. Those words were plagiarized from someone else's speech. The guy was a plagiarist, a fake, a guy who liked to beat up women, who liked to have sex with white and black women, although he was married, who's also a notorious homosexual, and now we're going to give him a big statue. That was George Washington that sent an order out in a letter to all of his officers, said that the one thing he would not tolerate in the Army of the United States, the Continental Army, was sodomy and homosexual, and that he would punish severely anyone found guilty of such crimes against God and nature. So we have George Washington, who warns his men he will not tolerate sodomy and homosexuality in the ranks of the Continental Army. That's our first commander-in-chief, George Washington. And now we've just built one of the biggest statues, a memorial in Washington, D.C., in honor of a notorious sodomite. Friends, when people say to me, we need to take back America, I say, no, we don't need to take back America. That America does not exist anymore. We have a new America. I think we need to leave this America. This is the America. This is America, the home of the sodomites, the home of the liars, the filthy scoundrels in Congress and so forth. A guy who's president of the United States who lied about where he's born and how many other things. I don't want to take this country back. Let them keep it. They can have the Social Security system. They can have everything. Give me a piece of land. Let's secede from this filthy cesspool pit. I say I'm for secession. I don't want this country. This is a filthy, dirty, ratty country. Now you say, well, Tex, you're sure not patriotic. No, I'm not. I'm not patriotic to a country that put up a statue 30 feet tall of a notorious sodomite. No. I hope Whoopi Goldberg, all the rest of the queers and homos were there to celebrate. By the way, understanding what's this TV show, Dancing with the Stars? One of the stars is going to be a man, woman named Chaz. You remember the little girl, the Cher and Sonny Bono show years and years ago? They had a little girl named Charity. Well, she changed her name to Chaz now, but it's now the she is a he. And he, she is going to dance on Dancing with the Stars or something. Whoop-de-doo. Dancing with the Stars, well, why is this he, she is a star? Just because his mother is Cher. And by the way, Cher is a notorious lesbian herself. No, she couldn't have been. She was married to Sonny Bono. Folks, they marry him for different reasons. Many of the times it's just a cover. A lesbian marries a man and calls him a beard. I need a beard to cover me so people won't realize what I am. There's all kind of that. Look, folks. If you go back and study Hollywood entertainment, people who are not lesbian and homosexual are the minority. You know, when I was a young man, I used to be reading magazines and the Parade magazine and all these, and they'd have pictures of Marlene Dietrich, you know, the German actress. And I noticed she was wearing a man's tuxedo. I remember asking someone, why is she marrying man in man's clothing? Oh, I don't know. Isn't she beautiful? No, she's not beautiful. I didn't find her sexy or attractive or anything else. I was just curious. Same thing with Katharine Hepburn. Why is she wearing men's clothing in her movies? Why does her voice sound raspy like a man's voice? I remember asking some ladies that one time. Well, you just don't like what she looks like. Well, I said, I don't think she's a woman. Turns out she was a lesbian. Katharine Hepburn was a lesbian. Yes, of course. Marlene Dietrich was a lesbian. Dolly Parton is a lesbian. No, she's not. It's not possible. She's married. Oh, shut up. She's a lesbian. That's why she sang together duos with Elton John, who is a homosexual. It goes on and on. I used to watch the Jack Benny show. Now I've come to find out he's a homosexual. Bob Hope? Yeah, I know. He did a lot for our soldiers and airmen and all that with the USO shows. Homosexual. Friends, America is not the America that you thought it was. Now, you can call me unpatriotic all you want, but don't call me a liar. It's the truth. You may hate it. You may hate me for telling it to you, but it's true. Now we go to another guy. I don't know what this guy is. I don't even. Albert Gore, Jr. from Tennessee. He says now, if you don't believe in global warming, you're worse than a racist. That's his newest card, the race card. Al Gore. You know, here's a guy who doesn't have, honestly, think of Al Gore, John Kerry, and George W. Bush in a darkened closet together. They couldn't find the doorknob between the three of them. Friends, these people are just, dare I say it, stupid. Now, how do I define stupid? I like to define it the way Forrest Gump defined it. Remember the movie Forrest Gump? He said stupid is as stupid does. Well, they're all stupid. Did you know that John Kerry believes in global warming. He's stupid. Al Gore believes in it. He's stupid. George W. Bush believes in it. John McCain believes in it. They're all stupid. What more need I say? Anybody that believes that what men does can warm up the earth. Now, I know I can light a kitchen stove and a certain small, tiny, insignificant part of the world will be warmed. Maybe that's it. But not much of one. But that's about the most you can do, friends. Burn your house down, I suppose that can contribute to global warming, but not much. Anyway, Al Gore is now desperate to convince everybody that global warming is real. You see, all the science is now finally coming out, and it's proven that there is no global warming. It's just a cyclical thing. It's, you know, in fact, a huge scientific organization called CERN, C-E-R-E-N, just came out with a new study, and guess what? Duh. Global warming is caused by the sun. I read that. That was news. That was a big news story just last week. According to CERN, this scientific organization that spends hundreds of millions of dollars of our taxpayer dollars, this organization, they have just completed a 12-year study in which they found that global warming is caused by the sun. I could have done a lot more with that money than them, friends. I think global warming is indeed caused by the sun. That's stupid to even think it's not. Have they ever laid out on the beach or in the backyard on a blanket when it was a sunny day? They would let you know that global warming is indeed caused by the sun. And if it gets too hot, get over in the shade. And you'll find immediately that some of the warming has dissipated. It's an amazing scientific fact. Shade keeps you from a little bit of the global warming. I could bring up, if they would just give this ministry millions of dollars, which we would use for a lot of wonderful things. I have an orphanage project here. I help little boys and girls. You help them actually by giving, my dear friends, to the children's home here in Texas. What could we do for the millions of dollars where they found out that the sun causes global warming rather than men? We could have done a lot. But anyway, Al Gore's out there now, and he's angry. He says, if you don't believe that man-made global warming is real, you're a killer. He said, do you realize that biofuels, carbon dioxide, caused by us burning, get this, fossil fuels, is predominantly killing black people in the third world countries? It's a result of the soaring. This is why we have soaring food prices, because of global warming. You and I are causing it. He said, you're a racist if you don't believe in global warming. Gore told Climate Reality Project collaborator Alex Bogersky, he said, my generation, this is Al Gore now, watched Bull Connor turning the hose on civil rights demonstrators. And we went, whoa, how gross and evil is that? But now there are people who don't believe in global warming. He said, they're racist. It's important to get it out there. Absolutely, they're racist. Goodness, friends. I must be a racist. You must be a racist. Whereas Al Gore, he's just an idiot. Okay, here's something else. Now, they've been found out. They've been discovered to be totally unscientific. This is the biggest, one of the biggest hoax in all of history, this global warming, climate change stuff. You won't believe what they've come out with. They have the Guardian newspaper from the United Kingdom, but it's here in the United States as well. NASA, our space organization. Now, these are the people that have spent tens and tens of billions of dollars to convince us that man can travel to the moon or to Mars or wherever. And yet they cannot return to the moon. They say they went there once in 1969, and they were going to go again, but they can't go. They can't somehow, 69, let's see, that's over 40 years ago, they went to the moon, they claimed. But they can't do it again. They can't duplicate the science. You know, the scientists say that if you have an experiment and you can't replicate it, in other words, duplicate it, then it's not real science. Some people say to me, you don't really believe man didn't go to the moon. Well, evidently NASA doesn't believe they can do it again. After 40 years, they can't duplicate the act. It might be because they never did it the first time, you know. You need to get my video, which is a real laugher, but it's true. What I say in my video, Leviathan in Space, and another video called The Eagle Has Landed, will tell you the true story about the moonshot, or the non-existent moonshot. But anyway, according to the global warming people, and NASA put out a report on this, aliens from outer space may destroy humanity to protect other civilizations. You see, according to NASA, now listen, this is true. This is almost incredible. This is beyond Rod Serling's Twilight Zone. NASA says that aliens from outer space may get angry at mankind for soiling the universe. You see, they're going to get angry at us, the aliens, the extraterrestrials, the little green men or wherever they come from. They're going to get mad because we've been sending up global warming emissions, this rising greenhouse emissions. And the aliens from outer space are going to say, you know what? Those people from Earth are a threat to the whole universe. Why? This global warming escapes from the environment, escapes from the atmosphere of Earth, and will come out into outer space and will eventually land on another planet and could cause global warming there. You know, billions and billions of, you know, gigabillions of miles away, light years away, global warming could migrate. And that's dangerous. Maybe we better go ahead and knock off the planet Earth right now, just destroy it to save the whole galaxy. Oh, man. Now, according to NASA, now I know you think I'm kidding you, friends, but I'm telling you the truth. According to NASA, if we do not curb greenhouse gases and reduce our emissions, the aliens who are somewhere out there might just decide that humanity needs to be massacred. And they then will mount a preemptive alien attack upon Earth to save the universe from global warming that's caused by mankind. Let me just read it to you. Here's how Ian Sample, the science correspondent for the Guardian newspaper in Great Britain, puts it. He says, watching from afar, extraterrestrial beings might view changes in Earth's atmosphere as symptomatic of a civilization growing out of control and thus take drastic action to keep us from being a more serious threat, the researchers explain. NASA-affiliated scientists and colleagues at the Pennsylvania State University state that while this may seem unlikely, it could play out. In other words, alien extraterrestrials may attack Earth to stop global warming. Dr. Sean Domagal Goldman, a Jew, I guess, of NASA's Planetary Science Division and his colleagues say this is what could unfold in the aftermath of a close encounter of the fourth kind. They put out a report called, Would Contact with Extraterrestrials Benefit or Harm Humanity? Well, I'm just scared. I'm going to be locking my doors tonight. I knew it. I knew this global warming would bring aliens. And by the way, we're going to start selling here in the ministry tinfoil hats for you to wear to protect you from the aliens. I don't know, Jerry, how much you think we ought to offer for those tinfoil hats? $19.95. Yeah, if you live over in Europe, we'll give them to you for, 50 euros. If you live in Japan, 1,000 yen. If you live in China, well, we'll just give them to you free because after all, Chinese get anything they want from us free anyway, including all our military secrets. So the Chinese, I know there's a billion of you, but we have a billion tinfoil hats. They will protect you from the aliens and the extraterrestrials when they come because of global warming. And I think they're going to attack Red China because they got more pollution and global warming there than any place. You know, they really do. I'll tell you what, though. Texas has a lot. Did you know 70 days? 76 days here in Texas We had a temperature of over 100 this summer. Can you imagine? Almost every day all summer long, it's been over 100 degrees. It was 112 one day. At any time, we can see these extraterrestrials come in. They're going to hear about global warming centered in Texas. Friends, don't laugh. Whoever thought there'd be an earthquake up in the eastern states and a, you know, hurricane off the shore there, and it's amazing. And I suspect volcanoes will suddenly appear in Arizona and Los Angeles. A lot of hot air in Los Angeles. I know that. In Washington, D.C., a lot of hot air, a lot of global warming. And they're at the Capitol building. They say that's the center of hot air in global warming. I say we just give all of those congressmen a tinfoil hat, too. They're going to, you know, they need protection bad. They really do. Okay, well, now the Vatican's worried about aliens, too. Again, I kid you not, folks. According to FoxNews.com, alien life is a great concern of the Vatican. And they have now had a forum or a international conference at Castel Gandolfo in Rome, Italy. The Vatican called it, Pope Benedict called them together, about 30 of the world's greatest scientists, including the Reverend Jose Gabriel Funes, an astronomer and director of the Vatican Observatory. You may not believe this, but in Rome, Italy, they have a great telescope run by the Vatican. And in Tucson, Arizona, I believe that's it. Yeah, University of Arizona in Tucson, there is another observatory. Now imagine, the Vatican, the Pope, owns two telescopes, one in Rome at Castel Gandolfo and at the University of Arizona in Tucson. Now, they're run by the Jesuit order. A lot of people say, what do the Jesuits do? Well, they're watching outer space. For one thing, they believe that Mother Mary is going to appear as a sign in the heavens. So they're looking through these telescopes for Mother Mary to appear. Now, when Mother Mary appears, she is going to establish control and power over all of the earth, and then she will give the key to earth to the Pope. Now, he's already got the key just by virtue of being Pope, but she is formally going to make the Pope the head of the New World Order. That's what Mother Mary, or the Virgin Mary, that's her whole reason for being, is to come to earth. There will be signs in the heavens that will be Mother Mary. And these Jesuit priests have a very important job, you see. Pope Leo XIII, back in 1891, founded the first observatory in the big telescope. So if you're a Catholic and you're giving money to the Catholic Church through your local priest and church, well, you're helping to find Mother Mary in the heavens. Could be very difficult. Who knows where she's? She could be peeking from behind a planet. She could be dancing on the moon. Who knows what she's going to be doing up there. But they're going to find her with these two huge telescopes. And they've already met up there, met in Rome. I've got a whole list I've got here of the participants. The 30 scientists included non-Catholics even from the United States, France, Britain, Switzerland, Italy, and Chile. They attended this conference. One of the things they wanted to know was, is there life on other planets? You know, Jerry, I do believe there is life on the planet Mars, but only if you land on a Saturday night. But that's just a theory of mine, you know. Okay, we're going to have to take a break here, folks. We've got enough secrets. I'm just enjoying myself way too much. I really don't even deserve to be paid by the ministry. In fact, I'm not paid by the ministry. But stay with us, won't you? We've got a lot more when we return. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, and this is Sequence Volume 181, and my name really is Tex Mars. Just like the planet Mars, that's me, Mr. Mars. We'll be right back after this brief message. Tex Mars here for Power of Prophecy. So glad to host this program each week and to have you as our guest. And you know, you're more than really a guest. You're a participant. In fact, I feel that you're the owner of this show. I actually work for you. I've always said that I have two bosses. Well, maybe a third, considering my wife, Wanda. But before Wanda, or maybe in cohabitation with her, in a sense, intellectually, that is, you're my boss. You are. You own this program. And you have owned it for as long as you've been listening to it. I'm really here to serve you. Now, you and I both have a big boss. He is a big one. His name is Jesus Christ. And I do what I can to please him. And you know what? It's a very rewarding job. The most in the world. I wouldn't give it up for anything. Delighted to serve my boss, Jesus Christ, and I'm delighted to serve you. And if you're happy, I hope you'll keep us on the air. How can you do that? Through your love gifts. Now, I'm being a little facetious today, but I'm also being very sincere. I've never seen so many expenses come in as have this year. I mean, they've raised their postage rates and our taxes have been raised. Yes, we're not a tax-exempt organization because tax-exempt organizations have to do what the old government says do. And we don't do anything but what God says do. And I take your suggestions besides. Well, in any case, help us to stay on air, would you? We've been here on air over 25 years now, and we're delighted to keep our newsletter going around the world, keep our books and videos and other products going forward. We don't really make any money. We may not be a tax-exempt nonprofit group, but it sure seems we are a nonprofit group, that's for sure. But we do stay on air, and we keep sending out things, and we keep helping our missions projects and sending out free Bibles and literature and doing all kinds of things here, helping our children's home keep its mission going, all because of your love gifts and donations to Power of Prophecy Ministries. Now, this month, we're having a very special project. It's called Employees Appreciation Month. Every September, we have Employees Appreciation Month. Here's how it works. If you're able, and God puts it on your heart, will you help us with a special love gift for the employees? Now, when you give a love gift to Power of Prophecy, you know, send it, of course, to Power of Prophecy or to Text Mars, but make sure you have a little note with it or a letter or whatever, a little piece of stick it note or paper and say, Text, this is for employees appreciation, employees appreciation, or for your staff or for your workers. We'll know what you're talking about, and we'll put it in that fund. Now, at the end of the month, when all the money is coming in, how much ever it is, we take it, and each of our employees gets an equivalent amount, okay? So all the money goes out on the 1st of October. In other words, after the month of September. Now, we might wait a week or two to see if a little bit of money comes in late, you know, through the mail. But basically, all the money that comes in for Employees Appreciation Month goes to the employees. So if you want to give to the ministry, to Power of Prophecy, or to Tex Mars's work through this ministry, please make that separate. Or if you give, oh, let's say you decided to give $100, 50 to the employees' appreciation, 50 to the ministry, then send us a $100 check or money order or cash and stick a little note in there saying, Tex, 50 of this goes to the employees fund. Okay? So we'll know how much to designate. Otherwise, it'll all go in the ministry. And I guess that's okay, because the ministry certainly needs your help more than ever. But if you want to designate for the employees, please do so. Now, I've said before, and I'm not complaining for them. They can complain to me, but you know, they really don't complain to me. I think everyone who works here, and it seems that our employees have been here for a long, long time. We've got one young lady, Jessica, who is my granddaughter, by the way, who has been here a little bit less than a year. Now, she's worked here many summers, off and on. But now she's a full-time worker here. But she's got the least tenure. We have Sandra's got 19 years with us. Michelle, 18. See, Jerry, how long have you been with us? 12 years. Rosario's been here 10, I think it is. Yeah, how much? 9 or 10. Nelson has been here 8 years, I think it is. Yeah, so I don't know how they put up with me all these years, but they have done it somehow, and I appreciate it very much. And one of the things that I think is important about the folks who work here is they care for you. You know, back when we first started, you know, years ago, in fact, we've been here now, what, 26, 27 years in the ministry at Power of Prophecy. But every once in a while, I'd have an employee who was a little smart-alecky or, I don't know, a little sarcastic on the phone. And I had to tell them, you know, it'd be better if you left. If you don't love the Lord, if you don't love our people, then we don't want you to work with us. We're so sorry, but go find another job where you can be smart-mouthed. We want somebody here who loves their work and cares for the people. And I think that's what we've got now. I don't get any letters of complaint or anything. But, you know, if you have your complaints, send them to me, to my attention, and I'll take care of it. But I don't get them, and I'll tell you why, because the folks here really love to help you. And, of course, their time is limited, you know. Some people call and want to be counseled for hours. We can't do that. We just don't have the staff. But whatever we can do for you, we will do it. Now, one of the things we like to do, in fact, I personally believe it's a privilege and an honor, is pray for you and your needs. We have a room and we have a blackboard in there, and we put prayer requests on the board even. And we'll read your letter when we are opening the mail and such, and we'll pray for you. Now, does that work? Does prayer work? Absolutely, because Jesus, well, he's on the throne. God is on the throne. And, you know, the Bible says that God inhabits your prayers. I've always said that's amazing. That's amazing. That's one of the reasons why I like to pray, because God will come and live with me in my prayers. It's an amazing thing, but I love that. And it is not a burden to pray for you. It is a privilege. Do you know that? To actually read a letter or an email or to get a phone call from somebody who says, please pray for me, text. Wow. Right away, I say, well, thank you, God, for sending me this. This is a privilege. This is an honor. Now, some people say, Tex, I'd like you to pray for me, but I don't want to bother you. I know you're too busy. I am not too busy. If you will let me know, I will pray for you. So please do that. Let us help you. And in doing so, I believe we're helping ourselves. Through some supernatural way, God rewards us for praying for you. I don't know how it works. God does what he wants to, but he does it. Isn't that fun? Isn't that lovely? What a great Lord we serve. Okay. Now, so to give to the employees for their, for your appreciation, for their work for the Lord, send it and designate it for them. That's during this entire month of September. Now, if you're a couple late, days later, a week late, and you go off in October, send it to us anyway. We'll make sure it gets to the employees, okay? All right. Now, here's how to send your love gift or donation. And remember, you can send it to the ministry or designate it for the employees. And by the way, we still keep all year long money coming into the children's fund, to the children's home. And if you designate it for the children, we'll put it in that little kitty. We know how to do it. You know, you do it now with, I guess Wanda's figured out how to do all the accounting in there. And what do they call it? Quicken software or something. I have no idea what she's doing. But thank God she's learned all that computer stuff and keeps everything separated. Well, okay, here's our address. You can write to us and send us your love gift, donation, cash, or check, or use your charge card. Write us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's 1708, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. In the United States, of course, Power of Prophecy. Or you can send it to TexMars, TexMarrs. You know, you can go online to powerofprophecy.com. You can, right on our website. And there's a place to donate. Just follow the instructions there and use your PayPal, your charge card, and so forth. And you can give through powerprophecy.com. And while you're there, well, read some of the articles and things. Just have our newest article up, the monthly feature. So you'll want to get that and read that. But we have an archive of all of our articles over the last several years. So you'll just have fun. If you're new to this ministry, well, you're just going to enjoy many hours. A very valuable time on Power of Prophecy com. Now, you can phone us and use your charge card. That's right, to make a love gift donation. Or did you know that each one of our radio shows, we archive and we'll send you, for your love gift of $8 plus $5 shipping and handling, we'll send you a CD or audio tape, whichever one you like, of today's program or any one of our programs. Okay? And our phone number is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. In the United States of America, hey, you can even call that in Canada, 1-800-234-9673. Now let's return to our regular program, Secrets 181. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. Okay, we left the Vatican and the conference they had in Rome, Italy, where the Vatican is seeking signs of alien life, or maybe seeing if they can find Mother Mary up in the heavens somewhere, giving a sign to the Pope. I don't think that's going to happen, but anyway, that's what they're doing. Well, Facebook, the world's largest social media, they've got, 200 million people with a Facebook account. We have one, Facebook, on our webpage, and every day I try to tell you what I'm going to be doing. What I'm going to be eating, what time I go to bed. No, I'm not going to tell you that stuff. But anyway, we do have some information on Facebook. Well, it seems like these Jewish groups are mad as wet hens. They don't want Facebook to allow Holocaust denial pages, Holocaust denial speech. Yeah, according to Jewish groups, including the Anti-Defamation League and a group called the Global Forum for Combating Anti-Semitism, they're demanding that Facebook police the entire web across the globe and don't allow anybody to deny any of the facts of a Holocaust. 6 million Jews died, not one, not less, not a half a Jew, not more or less. 6 million exactly died in the Holocaust. If you don't believe that, well, if you teach somebody that, you should go to prison. And did you know that there are scores of people around the world in prison simply for questioning the Holocaust, or that it happened in a certain way? I suppose if you believe there's only 5,999,999.99, I don't know how you get 0.99, maybe a guy had a leg amputated or something. But in any case, if that's what you believe, why, you could go to prison for 12 years in Germany for denying the Holocaust or some part of it. Now, Holocaust denial is a form of classic anti-Semitism, says Deborah Lauder, ADL's Director of Civil Rights. Now think of it. She's Director of Civil Rights, but if you don't go along with their view of the Holocaust, you have no civil rights, or you shouldn't have any. That's what Deborah Lauder says. Now, the Global Forum for Combating Anti-Semitism describes itself as an Israeli-led alliance of statesmen, parliamentarians, diplomats, journalists, legal experts, and scholars who argue that Holocaust denial is by definition an expression of hatred for the Jewish people. Now, it's not possible, according to this group, that you could love the Jewish people and just like them to know the truth. Seems like if you love people, you want them to know the truth, doesn't it? But they say, no, you're obviously a hater of Jews if you want them to know the truth. Well, they didn't quite say it that way, but that's the way I read it. Classic anti-Semite, if you don't believe in the Holocaust. Woo! Well, you know, in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, I show that a lot of the stuff they're putting out about the Holocaust is pure bunk, pure baloney. Like the woman that says that she ran from the German troops and escaped the Holocaust by being taken into a family of wolves out in the forest, who fed her, brought her food and all that. The wolves saved her life. Of course, in real life, little girls get eaten by wolves. But this is a Holocaust story. It's okay to lie. You can even read the best-selling book by Misha De Fonseca. I think it's called A Wolf Story or something like that. A Wolf's Tale. I don't know what it's called. Something like that. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, we leave the Holocaust and we go to the barber shop. What a departure. It seems that in Philadelphia, a lot of things are going on in Philadelphia. a barber shop had to be shut down due to animal sacrifices. How would you like to be sitting in the barber's chair getting a haircut and you hear this and all kind of sound going on down in the basement? That's right, because a barber shop in Philadelphia was owned by a Santeria priest. Now, that's one of those Caribbean island religions. And it's been brought to America by all these mostly illegal aliens. Well, one of them started a barber shop there in Philadelphia. Seems that while he was giving people haircuts there in the barbershop on the main floor just off the street, down below he had all kind of human bones and satanic articles and artifacts, and they were sacrificing animals, chickens and other animals, to the devil. The religion was Santeria. They practiced Santeria in Haiti and other places, other islands. Well, the officials in Philadelphia raided the place and shut the barbershop down. Now, the man who owns the barbershop is he's mad as a wet hen, or should I say a dead sacrificed hen. I don't know which. But in any case, he said it's his religious right to practice animal sacrifice down in the basement while he's giving haircuts up on the main floor. But the city of Philadelphia's health department says it's a matter of health, not religion. Well, I don't know about what I think about that. To me, it's a matter of life and death as far as the animals are concerned. Don't you think, folks? Meanwhile, somebody wrote to me and sent me an article. It says Gwyneth Paltrow. She's a Jewish actress, well-known actress. The headline said, Gwyneth Paltrow spreads joy of celebrity sect. I knew right away what it was. I read the article, it confirmed. She's into the Kabbalah, like Madonna, like Demi Moore, like President Bill Clinton is into the Kabbalah. Britney Spears. It's called a celebrity sect, S-E-C-T. And Gwyneth Paltrow believes that the joys of Kabbalah should be spread. Now, by the way, the Jewish religion, Judaism, they also sacrifice animals. They say they don't sacrifice them to the devil. They only sacrifice them to the holy serpent, which is not the devil, but which is God. But then on the other hand, that's what the Santeria people say. Now, who among the Jews sacrifices animals? Well, Jewish rabbis. Certain high holy days, they get the old chickens and cut off their heads and sprinkle the blood all around. That's why one Christian who visited Israel and found out all this after living in Israel for many years called Judaism the most horrible religion in all the world. He was ordered to be deported immediately by the Israeli authorities. Sort of like, the Holocaust. It may be true, but you're just not supposed to say it. Well, Gwyneth Paltrow is spreading the joys of the celebrity sect. I suppose she's helping the rabbis just, sprinkle the blood around. And she wears one of those little, have you seen those little red bands they wear around their hand? Usually the left hand, because left hand magic is of the occult variety. But I was watching recently and I saw several stars. Let's see who all. What's that guy's name? Ben, the comedian. Yeah, Ben Stiller. He was wearing one of those red wristbands. Bill Clinton, former president, he's deep into the Kabbalah. Hillary is too. He was wearing one of those little red jobs. Say they bring you good luck. I was thinking of ordering one for myself, Jerry. What do you think? Think I'd look good with one of those red? You want one too? Okay. I think we ought to offer them through the ministry. Red Kabbalah bands. What do you think? Maybe ask $10.99 for them? I don't know. Or we could start just selling chickens suitable for sacrifice. Make a lot of money. The ministry needs money, but I guess God is going to have to take care of us in other ways. Folks, now listen, I am joking about these. Please don't take me serious. I'm just sure I'll open up, my internet next week and they'll say, Texas now into selling Kabbalah bands, or Texas sacrificing chickens or something. Folks, I'm making fun of these things. Please believe me. I'm just I just don't know anything about the joys of Hollywood celebrities, I guess. I'm just old-fashioned. I like it simple. You know, let me just tell you a little story here. It's quite interesting. I think it is. Had a pastor visit me. He was a nice guy from Houston, Texas. Came visited our ministry right here. We just moved in this building. So as you can see, it was what, I don't know, 20 years ago or something. He said, well, I'm so glad you've got this ministry facility now, Tex, blah, blah, blah. I thanked him. And he said to me, Tex, did you sanctify and pray for this facility when you moved in? It's very important. This pastor had a huge guidebook. It looked about 300 pages on how to fight the devil. And he gave me a copy of it. I've still got it in my files here. Think about it. A spiritual warfare manual for fighting the devil and his demon spirits. That was it had a name sort of like that, which is all right. I don't know why you need a 300-page book to learn how to fight the devil. Jesus just ordered the devil to go away and he went away. I mean, what does it take? I mean, I don't need to know anything to fight the devil. You know what I do? I say, Jesus, help. Two words. I think I could write a whole book. Folks, if you want a book, it'll only be two words. I can offer you my new book, Tex Mars Spiritual Deliverance Manual. And you open it, it's like one of these nothing books. It has just all blank pages, except right in the middle are two words. Right in the middle, this 1,000-page book. It's very impressive to see the size of it. Right in the middle, it would just say, Help Jesus. It'd be the most effective book in the world to fight the devils. You know, I've seen these people that come to visit me in Texas. Did you know that Austin, Texas, where we're at, there's a devil named Azazel or something like that? And he's the territorial devil of this area. You've got to pray against him. If you don't mention his name, he won't obey you. Well, I don't want the devil to obey me. I don't have anything to do with devils. So I say to them, you mean I have to know the name of the devil to fight him? Oh, yes. You first got to pray and discover his name. Only then, after you discover the name of the devil that's in charge of your area, can you, you know, pray for him and ask God to get rid of Azazel or whatever it was. And I thought, you know, my friend, and I usually, when I was talking like this, in my own special way, I would put my arm around him. I said, you know, there's a very special way to get rid of that devil. You don't even have to know his name. They said, really? How? They were serious. They would spend hours praying against this one devil. I said, just say, Lord, protect me. Lord, help me. Lord Jesus, bind the devil. And you know, that's always worked for me. They said, really? That's all you need. You don't need to go to any seminars on spiritual deliverance. You don't need to practice holy laughing or, you know, all these trick things. You don't need to give money to get money and all this other stuff. You just say, Jesus, help me. I'll tell you, one time I was doing some research and I visited the largest New Age occult bookstore in the world. It's right here in Austin, Texas. It's right down on South Lamar. And I went in there to do some research. I was in a hurry. I did not pray before I went in. I did not say, Lord Jesus, help me, protect me when I'm in the store. Now, I think that's bad of me. I will admit that. I think it's very important just to pray and ask the Lord to give you a hedge of protection. I went in that store, and they have the incense going over here, and they had this, all this Hindu music going on over the loudspeakers and the chanting and all that. And I go in there, you know, like I have before, to get research materials so I can expose the devil's works. And as I'm looking at these bookshelves, I felt something trying to enter my body, literally. And let me tell you, Jerry, and folks out there, let me tell you what I did. I immediately knew I had made a mistake. You know, when you go into the devil's playground, so to speak, you need Jesus' protection. And most of all, I have Jesus in my heart, of course. I'm a Christian. But I do believe we should not take it for granted. And I believe just like when you eat, when I eat something, I say, Lord, please bless this food. The Bible tells us to do those things. The Bible tells us to give thanks to God for all things. I should have said, Lord, thank you for being my protector, my provider. And be my protector as I go into this devil's den, this bookstore for devils. But no, I didn't do that. I always did it, but I didn't do it that time. I'm in too big of a hurry. You say, well, I'm in too much of a hurry to pray and thank God to bless this food. Folks, take a moment to thank the Lord Jesus for the good things he gives you. One of which is protection against the devil and his works. But I felt literally something was right here on this, what the Hindus call the third eye area of my forehead. And it was like a pressure. Boy, I stopped right in the middle of that aisle there. And I said, Lord Jesus, please protect me. I feel under oppression. Please protect me. And you know, that thing just lifted. Everything went away. And I felt just fine. But anyway, that's just shows you the power of God. And sometimes he's protecting you, but God wants you to acknowledge him. He wants you to respect him. And I think it's only right. He's God. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent here, but hey, talk about the devil's works. Maybe you heard back last February, there was a New York state television executive convicted of beheading his wife. Evidently, it was a Muslim-oriented TV station. We have a few of those now. You know, you have Christian stations. Now they have Muslim station, religious TV stations. He beheaded his own wife. Now, the guy was from Pakistan. Quite a wealthy guy. His name was Muzamil Hassan. Now, he didn't deny that he killed his wife, Asiya Hassan. In fact, he brought her to the station with him that day. And there with employees and everybody at the station, he beheaded her, cut off her head. Her body was found stabbed and decapitated at the offices of Bridge TV in Orchard Park, New York. How very sad. He calmly walked from there to the police station, which was nearby, and turned himself in. Now, this lovely woman and gentleman, I guess you call him a gentleman, monster maybe, it'd be more accurate, had two wonderful children, ages 4 and 6. They were outside in the SUV when Hassan spoke to police and confessed. Folks, there is a tyranny of multiculturalism in the United States. They're forcing us to coalesce with Islam. I am opposed to it. Do I believe in freedom for Muslims? Yes, I do. I also believe that they are in bondage to the devil. This is just one example. Now, some people would say, well, Christians also do horrible things. Yes, they do. I realize that. But don't try to tell me that Islam has guidance from anything other than demonic spirits. That is the nature of that religion. I'm sorry, but it's true. Say, Tex, they're going to get you for saying that. Well, if they get me, they get me. There again, I say, help Jesus. Help protect me. I refuse not to tell the truth, folks. I absolutely refused. We would be better off not to be a so-called multicultural nation. There is a tyranny of multiculturalism. And the forcing us to come together and giving even special privileges to Muslims is an ongoing process, and I'm opposed to it. This is Tex Mars. We had a volume of secrets here. We've talked about a number of things, the Vatican observatories and Muslims beheading their wives and, oh my goodness, Jerry, we've talked about all kinds of things. And you know, it's been my delight to be with you today to share with you. And I pray very sincerely that each week you will tune in right here at Power Prophecy and discover the power of God through His mighty prophecy.